The message for today is, what are you considering? What are you considering? It says here, Christians need to realize that every moment they are thinking about something, right? We're always thinking about something, aren't we? What we think about is very important. Since our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and our minds are encased in our temple, we must become aware that we are in control of our thoughts. It is through our minds, which are the thoughts we think, that we allow the enemy into our lives. I want to read that sentence again. It is through our minds, which are the thoughts that we think, that we allow the enemy into our lives. Your mind is the thoughts that you think. Today, we're going to learn to practice an awareness of our thoughts and stop the enemy from producing negative results in our lives. Okay? All right, over here, everyone. Up here. So basically, what we are saying here is that the thoughts we think open and close doors to either good or bad in your life. The thoughts you think open and close doors. So we can open doors for God to work in our lives and flow through our lives. Or we can open up doors for the enemy to work and flow in our lives. And we simply do that by the thoughts that we allow ourselves to think, the thoughts that we allow ourselves to entertain. What are you considering? That's the question today. But we can also close doors. We can close doors to the enemy and not allow him in. And we can also close doors to God and stop him from being able to work as well, just by the thoughts that we think. So we're going to start here in Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5. Now, this is the Old Covenant, but remember, the Old Covenant it's an example for us. Everything in the Old Testament is an example. Jesus came, he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the law and gave us grace, meaning we know we can't keep all the law, but we still strive to become conformed into his image. So here in Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5, Moses, it says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Now, I just want to stop here for a minute. Notice what I have bolded. When we follow the commandments of the Lord, the reason is so that we can live, so that we can multiply, and so that we can possess the land which the Lord has given to us. That's what he's saying here. Verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And I just want to stop here for a minute. They had to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. Why? God had to change them. He had to change them. What does it say? So that he could humble them? So that he could prove himself to them? And so that he could know what was in their heart. God needs to know what's in your heart. And that's why we go through experiences. God never tempts us with evil. But experiences and situations in life always bring us an opportunity to choose. Choose life. Choose God's way. What are we considering? What are we considering? Verse 3, it says, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread alone, only, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Verse 4, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Now, notice that the Lord says that their feet didn't even swell up for 40 years. The clothes they wore never wore out. God took care of them. All that time that they were wondering, you know what God was trying to teach them? To lean into his everlasting arms. To trust him that he'd feed them, take care of them, meet their needs. It's the same with us today. What wilderness experience are you going through? What are you considering? Now let's look at this word consider. Right below there, notice it's the word yada. I love that. Anybody heard that term? Yada, yada, yada. Yada, yada, yada. When you're saying yada, you're saying consider, consider, consider. Yada, consider. That's easy to remember, isn't it? Now, the primary root of this word means to know. So when we consider something, we are trying to know it. Notice it's here. It says recognize. Be diligent to discover and know it. Give it consideration. Acknowledge. Become aware of. Comprehend. Be diligent to understand. Be sure of. Discover. So now when we are considering, what we are doing is we are trying to recognize. We are being diligent to discover what it means. We are acknowledging it. We're becoming aware of it. And this is what God is telling them. In verse 5, notice, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Now, the only way God can know what is in our hearts is by seeing how we act. Think about that. The only way God knows what's in your heart is by how you act, how you respond. What are you considering? What are you thinking about? How we act, seeing how we respond to situations in life. Now, I'm going to give a quick example. Healing. Healing. The word of God says, by the stripes that Jesus took on the cross, we were healed. We were healed. Now, how do you act? How are you acting? How are you acting around others about your healing? What are you considering? What are you thinking about? What are you discovering? Are you considering the fact of what your doctor told you? Are you researching everything about the sickness that you have? Is that what your mind is focused on? Is that what you're considering? Are you considering what your doctor said? Now, I'm not telling you up here to ignore your doctors, but what I'm telling you is the facts may be that the doctor says you have this, but the truth is that by the stripes Jesus took on that cross, you were healed. So what should you be considering, recognizing, thinking about, discovering? That your doctor told you you have this? Or that by the stripes Jesus took on the cross for you, you were healed? What should your mind be on? What are you considering? Let's look at Haggai 1, 3 through 9. Now, I want to set this up. Haggai was a prophet. We all know that. He was a prophet. He was a post-exile prophet from Babylon. They believe that they don't know a lot about Haggai, but they believe that he may have been taken captive with Nebuchadnezzar when Israel, right, when Egypt was taken captive by Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar took over, right? They took over Israel and Jerusalem. But then they came back after 70 years, didn't they? So Haggai was a prophet during that time when they had returned back to their land. Now it was time for them to rebuild their temple. And Haggai was part of the newly returned group of Jews that came back to their land. And they had begun to build their temple, but now it was 16 years later, and they still hadn't finished that temple. 16 years later. And the reason that they hadn't, we're going to read here, is because the people were too involved with their own personal lives. Now, let's pick the story up here. Haggai 1, 3 through 9. Now, remember, when the Old Testament prophets spoke, they were literally speaking as though they were God speaking. So what they'd say, thus say the Lord, and then they'd speak. It was the Lord speaking through them, right? We understand that. So let's see here what Haggai said. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. There's that word. Consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes. Verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Again he says, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple that I may be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. Verse 9. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Verse 10. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and all the labor of your hands. Now, we can see that God's a little bit upset with them, isn't he? What were they doing? Basically just focusing on their own lives, weren't they? Doing their own thing, taking care of their own homes, minding their own business. What they had to do was more important than dealing with the things of God or giving to build the temple or help to build the temple. Right? Notice that it didn't say here. Let's look at that at the beginning there. Verse 6, it says, you have sown much. They've sown much. Oh, what were they sowing? Well, they were planting seed for their harvest, right? So they were planting seed for food for themselves and to grow grapes and to grow wheat and corn, right? So they were sowing a lot, but notice they were harvesting only a little, weren't they? Notice they were eating, but there wasn't quite enough, just enough to get by, not enough quite to satisfy them. Notice here in verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What does that word again mean, consider? It means to know, means to recognize. It means be diligent to discover. You know what he's saying there? Look at yourself and see what you're focusing on. What are you thinking about? What is most important to you? Is my house more important to you? Or is your own life, planting your own seeds, living your own life? Today we could say, well, making a living, working, going out there, right? Working, taking care of ourselves, meeting our own needs was more important than God's business to them. It was what they were really considering. How many of you know that every seed produces after its own kind? Do you know that's a principle that God put in effect? If you don't believe me, go to Genesis chapter 1 and read it. Every seed produces after its own kind. Every seed. So if you need a certain kind of seed, start planting the kind of seed that you need. If you need more friends, Scripture says you need to be friendly. Go out, mingle, get to know people. If you want apples in your yard, plant apple seeds. You want tomatoes? Plant tomato seeds. You want love? Plant love. You want turmoil? Plant turmoil. But if you don't plant a seed, you're going to get nothing, aren't you? And this is what God was saying to them. You're not doing anything to do with me. You're so focused on your own life, your own way, what's going on with you, taking care of your own needs. And you know what? Because they were so worried about themselves, they were lacking in everything. Their food was low. They couldn't quite get satisfied. I like to call that they had a skinny goat mentality. They're just a bunch of skinny goats. They didn't want to give anything to God. They were too busy giving it all to themselves. What were they considering? And that's what God was saying to them. What are you considering? Because of what the people were considering, what they were thinking on, God caused their land to have drought. He caused their seed not even to multiply. See, God controls all these things. How many of you know that? God creates calamity. And he creates peace. He says he does in Isaiah. The people were living as though they were barely getting by. Are you barely getting by? Just making ends meet? Is that why God only gets your change every Sunday? You only got a few bucks to throw into the Lord, right? Because the rest of it needs to go to meet all of your needs and all your stuff. See, we need to really think about what we're considering. What is most important to you? You know, I was taught this years ago. We always know where God stands when it comes to our pocketbooks. We usually give God our last resort, a couple of bucks. He that sows bountifully shall reap bountifully, but he that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly. Every man shall reap according to what they have planted. Every seed produces after its own kind. So here these people were. They got back their land. They're back in Jerusalem. Their temple needs to be built, and they're all busy doing their own thing. And 16 years later, no temple for God. Let's look here at Luke 12, 24 through 34. I always like to say this because it's important to know that Jesus is speaking here. So what I'm reading are Jesus' words. He says here, "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life's span?" Now, I want to stop here for a minute. What is to worry? Would that be to consider? It's something that we think on, isn't it? The definition of worry is to be troublesome, to disturb the peace of one's mind. think on the wrong things or consider the wrong things. So, if you're thinking about things and you're worrying about stuff and you're all fretful and you have no peace, let me ask you this. Do you think that's from God? No. See, it's easy to check whether what we're thinking is from God or not. Are you at peace? Is it bringing you peace? Because if it's not, it's not from the Lord. You know why? Because what you're worrying about, Scripture tells us, we are told as Christians, we are not to worry. Do not worry or fret or have any anxiety about anything, but everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the God of peace shall keep you in peace. When you're worrying and fretting, you have taken on the responsibility yourself. You have left God out. We have to learn to give to God everything, everything that we worry about, everything that we fret or are anxious about. He will take care of us. Isn't he saying here, consider the ravens? They don't work. They don't punch a clock every week, do they? But God feeds them. And how much more important are you than the birds? This is Jesus speaking. Verse 26. If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. Verse 28. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? Now I want to stop here. Jesus said this. Jesus is in the now. He's always present tense, present participle, always with you. If he is taking care of you, you have to make a decision to believe it and then consider that. Instead of considering, what are we considering? Our fixed income? The economy? What you can see, hear, feel, taste, and touch, what's all around you, what the news says, what the newspaper says, or are you going to consider what Jesus says? If we could just get a hold of that one thing and realize that the Lord is going to take care of us, if you could give that all to him and release that burden, do you know what that would do for your life? It would free you up. Do you think Jesus was worried about money when he was ministering the gospel? No. He knew God would always take care of him. He knew those needs would always be met. Was he worried about getting sick? No. He knew that healing belonged to him. Jesus came to be an example so that we would be like him, imitators of Christ. Verse 29, and do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying. Now, this is a commandment from Jesus. So I have to say to you is when you worry, you are literally sinning. No, you're not condemned. No, you're not going to go to hell because we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But what I'm saying is we need to consider what we're thinking. Consider and bring our thoughts back to the Word of God. Stop worrying. No, turn our minds back on the Lord. If you're worrying about something, go back to Jesus and think about Him and what He says. Research the Word and find your answer or ask somebody. Verse 30, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. The nations of the world. What did Jesus say? He said, we're in the world, but we're not of this world. Our kingdom is not of this world, so we don't think like the world. We're not supposed to act like the world. But most people can't tell the difference between the Christians and the world. We're all worrying. We're all acting the same way. We're all just flowing with the world system and everything they say. They are influencing us instead of letting God's word influence us. What are you considering? What are you thinking about? Change your mind. Repentance is metanoia. It means to change one's mind. That's all repenting is, changing your mind to think like the Lord. It's not that bad. Verse 30. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. He knows. Verse 31, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Your heart is where your treasures is. Your heart is your soul, your intellect. So therefore, even if I'm on a fixed income, even if the economy seems bad, even if the news is saying, whoa, boy, we're in big trouble, God will make sure that I'm taken care of, that my needs are met, that he will bless me, make sure that I have plenty. And that's what I'm going to consider. And that's what you need to consider too. Let's look at Proverbs 23, 6 and 7. We've quoted this before, but we're going to show you something here. Do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies. For as he thinks within himself, so is he. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. How many of you know that sometimes on the inside, there's a lot different person than what we see on the outside? Here, this person is a selfish man. He's selfish. But he's saying, go ahead and eat. But in his mind, he doesn't want to give you anything, really, because he's too selfish. And that's really where his thoughts are. So what should the selfish man do? Change his thinking. Say, Lord, I know I'm selfish, but please forgive me for that. Help me with that, Lord. Help me with that. It's that simple. You turn things over to the Lord. So on the inside, this man is begrudgingly thinking, I don't want to give you anything. That's what he's really thinking. Why? Because as a man thinks, so is he. And as you think, so are you. So if things aren't working right in your life, it's because you need to do a checkup, like I like to say, a checkup from your neck up. Your neck up. What are you thinking? Change your thinking. So now how do we get our hearts right? How do we think right? Let's look here at Proverbs 23:12. Apply your heart to discipline and your ears to words of knowledge. Again, this word heart is a Hebrew word, leb, and it means the feelings, the will, the intellect. So what he's saying here is apply your feelings, your intellect, your thoughts to discipline, and your ears to words of knowledge. What are words of knowledge? The word of God. So how do we change our hearts? We think on the word of God. We apply this to our thoughts instead of what the world said. We have to stop our negative thinking. Stop it. Now, you can't just say you're going to stop it. So I want you to get a hold of something here. You can't just stop it. You have to replace it with something else. Replace it with something else. Because if you tell yourself, I'm not going to say that anymore, you'll keep saying it. But if you replace it with something scriptural, then you'll fix it. It'll go away. So you don't. How you stop it is you replace it. What do you replace it with? The Word of God. the word of God. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep perfectly peaceful the one whose mind remains focused on you because he remains in you. How do we stay peaceful? We keep our minds focused on the Lord. When you're thinking about the Lord, you're not fretting and worrying. So you have to keep your mind on the Lord. Joshua 1:8. Now we know, remember that Moses didn't get to go into the promised land, did he? He didn't get to go. But Joshua did. And Joshua was instructed by Moses, and Joshua was instructed by God. And here it was the instruction given to Joshua as he entered the promised land. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So how do we change? We're not even supposed to let the book of the law depart out of our mouth. He says, don't let it depart out of your mouth. Don't let it depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. And be careful to do all that is written in it. For then, what does the word then means? Then means after that. After that. So he's saying, for after that, you will make your way prosperous. And after that, you'll have good success. After what? After you meditate on the word. After you get your mind on the word. After you start speaking the word of God. After that, you'll be prosperous. After that, you'll have good success. I can teach you all day long and beat you over the head with the Bible, but only you can get it in you and make a decision to do that. Now, Romans 4, 16 through 21, we're going to just look at for a minute. I'm going to set you up because we're going to be talking about this in the weeks to come. Now we're going to consider, we're going to look at what we shouldn't consider. What we shouldn't consider. Remember, when we consider something, we're thinking on it. This is what we shouldn't consider. Here in Romans 4, 16 through 21, about Abraham, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God called things into existence even though they didn't exist. And this is what he did. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, believed in hope, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, I want to just look at this briefly because I know we need to end here. But notice here, God made Abraham the father of many nations. He told him, you're going to be the father of many nations, didn't he? Abraham said, okay. Then Abraham didn't consider the fact that he was 100 years old. He didn't consider it, meaning he didn't think about it. He didn't consider the fact that his wife, Sarah, was barren all of her life, and she was 90 years old, so he didn't consider that either. Instead, he chose to consider what God said. God called him to be the father of many nations before he was the father of many nations, and that's what it's saying. God who gives life, on 17, who gives life to the dead, he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So here God called Abraham, the father, you're going to be a father of many nations. Your wife is going to have a child. Abraham says, okay. But he chose not to think about the fact that he was 100 years old and that his wife was barren and 90. He chose not to consider that. See, sometimes we don't want to think about certain things. It's the same with us. If the doctor's given you a bad report, he says you've got cancer, you've got arthritis, you've got this, you've got that. Instead of considering that and keeping your focus on that, you need to consider what God says. But by the stripes of Jesus, I have healed you already. That's what you need to consider. That's what you need to think about. Not the fact of how things look. That's what creates unbelief. In fact, the unbelief is more important that we understand. Mark's going to talk about unbelief next week. But that was the unbelief. The unbelief was that, well, but I'm 100 years old. Well, but my wife is 90 and she's barren. Wouldn't that cause unbelief? It wasn't that he didn't believe that God was going to do that, but it was all this unbelief of how things looked. And it's the same with you. The unbelief is what you need to work on. You already have the faith. Jesus said if we had the faith as a what? Mustard seed. How much faith is that? Just a little bit. A mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds around. So you already have the faith. What you need to get rid of is your unbelief. Your unbelief is what the doctors tell you, what the news tells you, what the economy tells you, what your fixed income tells you. That's all unbelief. And Mark's going to be teaching on that next. How do we get rid of our unbelief? One thing we can do is ask the Lord to help us with it. Help our unbelief. So instead, Abraham considered what God said. He did not consider the other. So sometimes we need not consider or think on the problem. We need to think on God who has the solution. Is everybody following that? He considered what God said. And he, notice, he became the father of many nations. He became because he chose to believe God. He considered what God said. He thought about what God said. He didn't think about the fact that he was 100. He didn't think about the fact that Sarah couldn't have a child. He thought about what God said. He thought about that, and he became the father of many nations. And as a result, Sarah had a child. Calling things that be not as though they are. And you can do the same. Yes, you might have symptoms. Yes, you may have a certain this. But instead of thinking about that and considering that, why don't you consider that the Lord has healed you? Why don't you focus on that instead? And supernaturally, God will change you. Last scripture here, Romans 4, 23 through 25. Now it was not written for his sake alone, I just wanted to point this out, that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So it's the same with us as it was the same with Abraham. It's what we consider. It's what we think on. And this week I want you to try hard to focus on what you are thinking on. And stop yourself from thinking on the wrong things. If you have sickness in your body, stop thinking about the sickness. Think about the fact that Jesus healed you by the stripes that he took on the cross for you. If you feel unworthy, stop thinking about that. You were given the gift of righteousness. You are already worthy. You're already righteous. You're not perfect, but you're being sanctified. That's why we live in grace. You are being sanctified, meaning you are changing. The Word of God is taking us from glory to glory. We're changing. Aren't you changing when you get the Word? You're becoming more and more like Him. You're thinking more like Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that Your Word is so rich. Father, we ask that you will help us this week. Help us to be aware of what we are considering, the things that we're thinking on. Help us, Lord, to take those things that are not of you and replace them with your scripture. Lord, help us with our unbelief. Help us to know how to deal with unbelief. Unbelief, Lord, is all the things that we see. We know you can do everything, Lord. But help us with our unbelief so that we don't look at those things that we see. We look to you, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.